This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Credence, written by Penelope Douglas, performed by Michael Pauly, Sophia Willingham, Greg Boudreau, and Carson Beck.
It is not light that we need, but fire. It is not the gentle shower, but thunder. We need the storm, the whirlwind, and the earthquake. Frederick Douglass. Chapter 1. Tiernan. It's strange. The tire swing in the yard is the only thing that makes it look like a kid lives here. There were never any drawings in the house, none on the fridge or walls, no children's books on the shelves, no shoes by the front door or floaties in the pool. It's a couple's home, not a family's. I stare out the window, watching the tire sway back and forth in the breeze as it hangs from the oak, and absently rub the red ribbon in my hair between my fingers, feeling the comfort of the smooth surface. He always had time to push her on the swing, didn't he? He had time for her, and she for him. Walkie-talkies shoot off beeps and white noise somewhere behind me, while footfalls hit the stairs and doors slam above me. The police and paramedics are busy upstairs, but they'll want to talk to me soon, I'm sure. I swallow, but I don't blink. I'd thought the tire swing was for me when he installed it 10 years ago. I was allowed to play on it, but my mother was the one who really loved it. I used to watch them out my bedroom window late at night, my father pushing her, and the magic of their play and laughter making me want to be in the middle of it. But I knew as soon as they saw me, the magic would change. It would disappear. So I stayed at my window and only ever watched, like I still do. I bite the corner of my mouth, watching a green leaf flutter past the swing and land inside the tire where my mother sat countless times. The image of her white nightgown and light hair flowing through the night as she swung on it is still so vivid because the last time was only yesterday. A throat clears behind me, and I finally blink, dropping my eyes.
Did they say anything to you?
Mirai asks me with tears in her voice. I don't turn around, but after a moment, I give a slow shake of my head.
When did you last speak to them?
I can't answer that. I'm not sure. Behind me, I feel her approach, but she stops several feet back as the clank of the first ambulance gurney jostles and creaks down the stairs and is carried from the house. I tip my chin up, steeling myself at the distant commotion outside as the paramedics open the front door. The calls and questions, the horns honking as more people arrive beyond the gates, where the media can no doubt see the body being wheeled out. When did I last speak to my parents?
The police found some medications in your parents' bathroom, Mirai broaches in her soft voice. They have your father's name on them, so they called the doctor and learned that he had cancer, Tiernan.
I don't move.
They never said anything to me, she tells me. Did you know your father was sick?
I shake my head again, still watching the tire sway. I hear her swallow.
Apparently he tried treatments, but the disease was aggressive, she says. The doctor said he wasn't going to last the year, honey.
A gust of wind picks up outside, churning the swing, and I watch the rope spin the tire as it twists.
It looks like they...
Mirai trails off, unable to finish her thought. I know what it looks like. I knew when I found them this morning. Toulouse, my mother's Scottish terrier, was clawing at the door and begging to get into their bedroom, so I cracked it open. The thought occurred to me that it was weird they weren't up yet, but I let the dog in anyway. Just before I closed it again, though, my eyes shot up, and I saw them. On the bed, in each other's arms, fully dressed.
He wore his favorite Givenchy suit, and she was in the Oscar de la Renta gown she wore to the Cannes Film Festival in 2013. He had cancer. He was dying. They knew, and my mother had decided not to let him leave without her. She decided there was nothing else without him. Nothing else. A sting hits the back of my eyes, but it's gone almost immediately. The police haven't found a note, Mirai says. Did you find? But I turn my head, meeting her eyes, and she instantly falls silent. What a stupid question. I lock my jaw, swallowing the needles in my throat. Over all the years of nannies and boarding schools and summer camps where I was kept busy and raised by anyone but them, I'd found little pain in anything my parents did anymore. But it seems there are still parts of me to hurt.